it's about value, right? So your value might be the audience that you have or the message that you're giving or the halo effect that they want to receive for their brand. So I always really try to get into their head and then I try to see if I can meet that value.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
This Women in Tech road trip is powered by Kia Niro Touring. Yes, Kia provided us the most fuel-efficient, comfortable car to be our mobile podcasting studio as we drive state to state, Los Angeles to New York, celebrating Women in Tech, featuring them on the Women in Tech podcast. First of all, it has cooled seats. It has the most silent AC. You can't even hear it. I leave it on low during the interviews and it is perfect. No disruption at all. You have fuel efficiency because it's hybrid. It comfortably stores all of our stuff. And there's three of us in this car with a ton of backpacks and mic gear and video gear. The Kia Niro Touring is phenomenal. Simply could not be possible without Kia. A huge thank you. Enjoy the Women in Tech road trip series. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I am in Denver, Colorado, on my way to Oklahoma City soon. But luckily, I was able to grab one more amazing interview before taking off. Hello.
Hi.
Thank you for being with the Women in Tech podcast this
morning. Thank you for having me.
So go ahead, tell everybody who you are and a little bit about what you do.
Sure.
And we'll get into your background.
Absolutely. My name is Elaine Marino, and I am the founder of Equally. And I do diversity and inclusion, training, workshops, consulting for companies, specifically tech companies. And then I also host Women in Tech events and conferences. And I'm a general community leader.
I hear you do fabulous brunches.
I do.
And who doesn't like a good brunch? Tell me a little bit about the brunches that you put together.
Sure, absolutely. I've been partnering actually with a group of really strong, powerful women who are also in tech and in leadership positions here in Colorado, from Techstars and Merge Lane and Boomtown and a couple other organizations. And we've created this group called Tech Garden. It's completely volunteer-based and led. And in January, we did a conference. It was a day and a half, and it was for 100 women, founders, co-founders, technologists, designers, women who are right in the playing field of tech and really doing it on their own. And it was an amazing event. And so we decided to follow it up with a brunch. There's a big event here called Denver Startup Week. And prior to it, we wanted to get all of the women together to talk about how can we support each other, who's on what panels, where do we need to be? Where do more women need to show up? And just have a general community event. And nothing better than doing it over mimosas, right?
So 100%. Now, what would you say? There's so, at least in Los Angeles, there's so many events. I just spoke on the Silicon Beach Diversity panel. So I think that what you're doing is really important. People don't know how to have the conversation even about diversity. Mm-hmm. But what's the biggest differentiator between the events that you produce for the tech industry and everything else that exists? Because I don't know if Denver and just the Colorado tech scene is similar to what we have going on in LA, but there is a lot.
There is a lot going on. I've always found that. So the problem is across the spectrum, right? The timeline from everything from early pipeline, right? You're talking when they're girls are 12 and 13 years old, all the way to women who have been in the industry a really long time and are still struggling to make it to the C-level, right? So there's a whole range. Where I like to be actually is mid-career, where women are entering the workforce or have been there for a while and where you see that retention drop off.
Right.
And so I like to provide the support for them mid-career.
Now, you believe that they're dropping off because they don't feel supported.
Yeah, no, I think there's a lot of reasons.
Like a culture issue.
It's a culture issue. So that's where the inclusion piece comes in. Yeah. I also help companies with their culture issues.
It's such a big deal, not even just for diversity, but just the word culture.
Yes.
There's some fabulous brands, I'm not going to say who, but really like the kind of celebrity brands. Uh-huh. And word around the block is they have terrible culture. Mm-hmm. And like the team drops off. Like crazy.
Totally.
And so you can have a forward facing, like really high profile, and inside your company could be falling apart all because you don't have culture.
Absolutely. I mean, I really do believe tech has two problems. You know, you can pump the pipeline, right? So there's a pipeline issue and everyone's working on the pipeline. But then you have this huge retention drop off as well. And the retention drop off has to do with culture. And it also has to do with you're always the odd duck.
Right.
You know, I really feel that, and I say women, but I changed the company name to Equally recently because it's not just women. It's all minorities.
Yeah.
Feel like they're constantly the only. You know, you walk into an engineering department and there's one or two women.
Right.
There might be one African-American man. There's usually no minority men, you know, or potentially a few.
Yeah.
So anyways, that's the problem is you can only be the odd duck for so long and you can only work in a culture that doesn't feel good to you or welcome to you for so long.
What's the experience? Can you spell Equally for us so we could kind of look it up while we're talking?
Absolutely. It's EQUI.LI is the URL and it's spelled EQUILI.
And actually, while we're at it, how can people connect with you if they want to cyberstalk you while we're having this conversation?
Absolutely. Yeah. They can go to the website. They'll find all my info on there. They can find me on LinkedIn, Elaine Marino.
Can you spell it?
Yeah, sure. ELAINE. And then the last name is MARINO, like the famous football player Dan Marino. And you can also email me at info@EQUI.LI.
Perfect. And so tell me about the experience. I'm a company and we hear about this so much in LA. I'm a company and I want to really become a more diverse company. Mm-hmm. And I don't, like I said earlier in our conversation, starting the conversation is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And so how does Equally walk me through that process? Like what's my experience?
Totally.
Entering your world.
It really depends on company size and do you have leadership buy-in? So if you are a smaller company, you have an easier feat, right?
Right.
Because you're talking percentages. You want to get to 30% female developers or whatever your goal is.
Right.
It's more attainable the smaller you are. The larger companies actually have a much bigger problem.
Right.
Because they're trying to turn an oil tanker. The process is that I would ask, okay, who do you have buy-in from? Do you have C-level buy-in? Do you need C-level buy-in? Do we need to come in and talk about the importance of diversity?
Just because I don't want to assume that all of our listeners know what it means. What is buy-in?
Oh, it means that the leadership actually thinks that diversity is an issue or that they want to fix their culture to be more inclusive.
Got it.
So what I find is happening is that leadership, C-level executives, the board of directors, the VP of engineering are paying more attention because there is just so much in the news about companies taking real hits to their bottom line.
Right.
Workforce leaving, C-level executives losing their jobs over this diversity issue. So they're paying attention, but they don't know what to do about it. And so they're kind of kicking the problem to HR.
Right.
And then HR is like, well, we don't know exactly what to do about it other than to hire diverse candidates. And I think the problem is a little bit more pervasive than that. So what I would do is I would sit down with the HR person or whoever's tasked. Maybe it's they have a diversity and inclusion person.
Right.
And I would say, okay, what does your company makeup look like? What is your percentage of women?
Right.
What are your percentage of women in engineering?
Right.
What is your minority percentage? Yeah. Do you have an LGBTQ community?
Right.
Veterans? Is there anyone disabled in your office? Like it goes way beyond just gender, actually,
totally.
And even race. I also ask about age. I think age is a really big one in the tech community.
It's really big.
Skews so young.
Even 40 plus, right?
Totally. No.
Like I was originally going to say 50, but I'm like,
oh, no,
even
no, no.
like in the tech world, 30 is old.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. No, women age out at 40. Men age out at 50.
Yeah.
And you feel it long before 40 or 50,
right?
You sort of feel it, like you said, in your 30s. Stack Overflow has a great survey. They do an annual survey and they get almost 70,000 respondents.
Right.
And the median age for a software developer is 27 years old.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
That's crazy.
That is very young.
Yeah.
And there are a whole lot of software developers that are older than 27.
100%.
So could you hire people that are a little bit older and start to fix your culture and make it more inclusive, right?
Now, why are you the person to create this movement for diversity? Like, why do you have the experience? Why should we trust you help us in that conversation?
So I have a very unique story in that I started my career in advertising, actually. Right. I worked in Los Angeles and New York for about 13 years, and I was at a director level position when I left it. And I just got very burnt out and was like, I'm changing careers. And so I moved to Colorado and actually entered one of the very first code schools that ever existed. This was about 7 years ago. And I learned the language of Ruby and the framework of Rails.
Right.
And I became an intern.
That's
and I was
badass. That's so cool.
And I was a software developer for about 2 years.
Right.
And I really struggled to find a culture fit. I really struggled to get a job. I did not know enough to be a junior level software developer, but I also couldn't find a company willing to train me either. Right. The system was not set up for someone like me. And so two things happened during that 2 year period. I started to get really involved with women in tech initiatives. I had a very good friend who's a lawyer actually say, you need to find the women in this group.
Right.
And she was right. And so I found the women in tech, and I found that I had a natural and odd skill set of bringing women together and putting on events.
Yeah.
I was able to get some very big sponsors pretty quickly and host.
It's a big deal.
Thank
it's
you.
It's a big deal.
All that advertising training kicked right in, and I was like, oh, I know how to do this.
Oh
and so
gosh,
I ended
I
up putting
it.
On a woman in tech conference called Lady Coders. So that was the first thing
that
happened.
So cool. Does Lady Coders still happen?
It does. I'm actually going to bring it back next year in 2018.
Okay, how can people look up Lady Coders?
They can go to the Equally website, and there's a tab for Lady Coders.
That's so cool. Is it in Denver?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm like...
yeah, no. You know, it's interesting. Yes, it'll be in Denver, but I also have very strong roots in Los Angeles, so I could be doing something in
amazing.
LA as well.
You know you're going to reach out to me if that happens, right?
Yes, I absolutely will. Okay. So, and then the other thing that happened while I was on this two-year journey in tech is that I was being interviewed and by these companies and having internships and experiencing the culture and going to meetups and making a whole new network. And I was doing it with the eyes of a manager, right? Because I had already had a career.
Right.
So, and I had already hired people and managed teams and managed clients.
Right.
So I wasn't a novice watching all of this.
Right.
And I was like, oh, there's some real problems here. There are things that are barriers to entry that no one is going to overcome.
Right.
And that is why you have a diversity issue.
Right.
So I took all of that learning, and I actually started a while ago advocating for it and speaking at conferences and talking, but it was always kind of under the radar because the industry wasn't really ready to hear it.
Right.
And then I would say in the last year, there has been enough turmoil and enough big headlines and enough companies having to take notice that I was like, okay, they're finally ready for what I have to say.
When did you originally, like, when was that moment that you fell in love with technology?
Oh my goodness. When I was an intern and I pair programmed with another woman, we actually became very close friends. We're close friends to this day. And we would sit there and problem solve. And I loved going into Pivotal Tracker and like getting my bug for the day. And then like
Pivotal Tracker is a coding tool, just so you guys know. Okay.
And basically, it's like a dashboard, and it tells you all the things that need to be fixed in the code base. And like this feature is not working. And so then you go and you spend your day fixing that feature, and then you would check off your Pivotal Tracker and go to your next bug. But here is my moment: is I just loved problem solving all day,
right?
As someone who has been in the marketing and sales world and just very interpersonal relationship world, it was so cool to like not have emails and not take phone calls and not be interrupted. Like you literally would put your headphones on, or if I was pair programming, and like you just are in the logic and you're way deep in the weeds, and your brain after 8 hours of it actually would sometimes hurt a little. You're whoa. But it was really cool.
That's
really,
awesome.
Really cool to fix problems all
that's
the time.
That's so cool. And how did you get that first internship?
Actually, at the Denver Startup Week job fair, I was walking around and I did a ton of networking. I was a part of different Ruby on Rails groups and different conferences. And I actually had quite a few mentors and quite a bit of help. But that's actually how I also knew the industry was broken.
Right.
It wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough to have mentors.
Yeah.
Something was really, really broken in the, 100%. In the industry.
So a lot of us, like we, I was talking earlier, myself included, need to work on this whole sponsorship thing. And you said your background in advertising led to that. So I thought it would be nice. It came up like a couple minutes ago while we were talking. Why don't you give everybody like one action tip, like something to think about for those female founders or, you know, community organizers looking to do something in the women in tech space? What should they think about when trying to reach out to a sponsor? Assuming they have zero experience.
Yes, assuming they have zero experience. Part of the thing with sponsorships is that you need to figure out who cares about your cause at the company and then also who is the decision maker. And so I guess my one action tip would be to try to meet people in person if you can.
Oh,
so
interesting.
At networking events or at mentoring events.
Right.
Don't ever discount where you could potentially meet a sponsor, and especially like if they're speaking on a panel, go right up to them afterwards and say, hi, you know, my name is Elaine. I run Lady Coders Conference, and I would love to have your company involved. Would you like to come speak? Is there a way for sponsorship? Don't ever discount the interpersonal connection that you can make.
And how about, here's something that I get, and I wonder if you get the same thing. Sometimes like brands will say like, they use a term, we don't want to pay to play or something mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. that, you know? And so you just said, if you want to speak or something, like
yeah.
how do you deal with that kind of conversation?
Yeah, I think I mentioned what they're going to, like, so it's about value, right? You have to produce some sort of value for them. So your value might be the audience that you have or the
right.
message that you're giving or the halo effect that they want to receive for their brand.
Right.
So I always really try to get into their head and say, okay, what is the most valuable thing
right.
for you? And then I try to see if I can meet that value. So just ask them, say, hey, where... Well, you know, what is your messaging? Like, why are you at this particular conference,
right.
the one that you're speaking to them
yeah.
at? And how can I bring that same value to your bottom line?
Totally.
What is your goal and your message that you're trying to get out?
And I would like to use this very special opportunity before we move forward in the conversation for you to pitch everybody listening on your work. Like, so if
Absolutely.
Assuming there are sponsor potentials listening right now.
All right.
What is your offer? And take a moment to think about it if you need to. I know I'm putting you on the spot.
No.
But we have a really successful podcast, and I would love one of those people to reach out to you and be like, I want to support what you're doing.
So I am next year, 2018, putting on two conferences, one for women in tech specifically. And what this is it's for women who are engineers who are on like the front lines, right? They're one of only a few in their office. I shouldn't say their office, in their department. Because what I find happens is tech companies may have like 17% women, but there's really only one in the engineering department. But they're really for these women that are mid-career, that need to find their tribe. They need to know how to navigate their career, and they want to do better and
right.
and just like really survive the fact that they will likely drop out. Like those
right.
are what the numbers say. So that's what Lady Coders is about. It's a career-based conference. Find your tribe. Figure out how to navigate the tough aspect that you find yourself in, right? That you're the odd duck at your mm-hmm. in your company. And so that's for Lady Coders. And I would love to have companies sponsoring those women, right? These are women that are active engineers or actively trying to get into the industry. And they are on the front lines. They are the current pipeline. And there's no reason in my mind that companies should not be clamoring to get in front of them.
And how can those people get in touch with you?
They can email me at info@equi.li.
Cool. And maybe you'll put sponsorship or we want to support you in
yep.
the subject line.
Totally.
Yeah. Amazing.
That would be awesome. And then the second conference is actually going to be for those companies that are trying to figure out their diversity and inclusion problem. I know a lot of experts. I'm putting together some really good panels and workshops for that conference to help companies figure out, okay, what is our problem? Where is it stemming from? And how do we fix it? And really give them a really solid baseline.
Awesome. Awesome.
Thank you.
And so now, before we wrap up the conversation, what's one way? I mean, you've done incredible things in your profession. So what's one way you've overcome challenges, from learning how to code to, I mean, this is a beast that you're taking on now.
Yeah, it is.
What's something you could share with us on how you overcome challenges?
I will say that it is to be as positive as I can internally, which I know sounds silly, but I think women who are developers will also understand that. I too have had those moments where you like have a good, what I call code cry, where like
I've never heard that before. That's amazing.
Where like you just, you've hit your limit on all things, right? Both the problem and the internal struggle that you're finding yourself in at these companies. And so it's just to know that you are good enough. You do belong, that there is no such thing. And the imposter syndrome is in your mind. And to just try and tell yourself that. Now, I'm not saying that imposter syndrome doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It absolutely does. What I'm saying is that you are the one that can control the negative thoughts, which I know sounds very wooey, and I don't mean it to sound that way, but here I am, like, completely on the front lines of diversity and inclusion. It's all based on my experience. And so I have to tell myself on a regular basis, what you're doing is important. Stay confident, stay courageous, and stay creative.
I love that.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Thanks.
Thank you so much for making your morning about coming here to sit in this Kia mobile podcasting. It's amazing, right? It's been comfortable.
It is. It's amazing. It's comfortable. It is the oddest thing I've done. And I hope I do more odd things like this. This is fantastic.
Yay. Yeah. I just think Kia Niro makes the best mobile podcasting studio ever. Like,
absolutely.
You guys know how obsessed I am with sound quality. And so that I get sound quality while the AC is going, like, I'm in love.
I know. And I absolutely also love the fact that, like, you just could pull up anywhere and I'm like, okay, yeah, sure, I'll hop in the car and we're gonna have a radio show.
The whole, like, don't talk to strangers.
Don't talk to strangers. Get in their car and talk to them.
Amazing. Thank you for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's a real honor.
Oh, yay. And if you guys want to connect with more extraordinary women in tech, remember to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group. You just get there by going to womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. I want to make sure that you post all your stuff in there, too.
I will. Absolutely. And also, I have a pretty good following on Twitter and Instagram. So
underscore
equally at on Instagram and then at Elaine underscore Marino on Twitter.
Perfect.
So, would love to have you both on there. I'm actually going to try and do a pretty interesting Instagram series for women in leadership positions.
I love it. And you guys will include those in the show notes as well, so you could find it super easy. I will talk to you guys here. You guys see you guys. Oh my God, I'm almost forgetting the compass. Okay. I don't know if you've heard the episodes before, but okay. Female founded company, the Compass Bracelet.
Oh,
this is 1938. So nice. The way this works is, first of all, this is genuine cork from Portugal.
Oh, wow.
Made to look like gender neutral leather.
Okay.
And it is created by this female founder in Wilmington, North Carolina. The idea is you write where you got the bracelet from.
Okay.
And then within 2 weeks, you give it to a woman in tech who inspires you.
Oh.
And then she writes where she got it from. And then et cetera, so forth. She gives it to someone in 2 weeks. It keeps moving down the chain. And you could see, like, the different people where your bracelet is going in. The listeners can follow you.
Do you do it on her website? Is that where you
Yeah, on shareyourcompass.com.
Oh.
So here, and here's some Women in Tech stickers.
Oh, I love it.
But here is the instructions.
This is for the compass.
Yeah. And
oh,
so
I
do you have
it.
Someone in mind that you're going to give it to?
Absolutely.
Okay, who's the person?
Julie Penner. She is the director of Techstars Boulder.
Amazing. That's perfect. Perfect. Love it. Do you happen to know her Twitter handle or Insta or anything like that?
I believe it's Penner J or Pen J, but I'm not exactly 100%
like that.
Positive.
So it's Julie Penner.
Yep. Julie Penner, Techstars Boulder.
Cool. We'll try to find her socials and put that in the show notes as well.
Awesome.
But yeah, so then Julie will pick someone that inspires her and it will just go down the chain.
Awesome.
And so you guys, this was 1938. And yeah. All right. See you guys. Talk to you guys. Hear you guys in the next episode. Tweet at Women in Tech Show. Bye.
Bye.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.